Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, Rob Wolf's going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking about food hangovers. Some of you already want to hear this show. I've gotten a lot of messages when I posted that this show was on, that there were going to be a lot of people tuning in. There's more people in the population that have this. We're going to discuss this spectrum, if you will. Then later in the show, I'm going to be joined by a scientist from UC Irvine, who has discovered an enzyme that may actually help aged and damaged brains start to consolidate and create memories again. Very, very exciting stuff, kind of tagging along with some of the work that Dr. Dale Bredesen is doing in this category as well. So we'll talk about that later in the show. Of course, we have to acknowledge our title sponsor, All-American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports, for a very generous sponsorship that they give us that keeps this show going. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the EFX banner ad. Get six of their most popular supplements free to try before you buy. Just pay $5.99 for shipping, which is actually the shipping cost. It's not a self-liquidating promotion. You even get a shaker bottle. It's like $30 worth of stuff. Check it out. You know, there's only a couple people that come on my show that have their own theme music.
I was paleo when paleo wasn't cool.
Rob Wolf is one of them. I actually made that for Lauren and you, because it could be said that you two guys showed up on the scene pretty much at the same time. So
he was a good couple of years before me, but not too far apart.
Yeah. How you doing, man?
Great. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course. And we also have to acknowledge before we even get started that you have revived your podcast, and a lot of people are like, "Holy crap, the podcast! Why did you take off? What happened?"
Well, we were really busy with some other kind of side projects, and I was honestly trying to figure out what to do with the podcast. Like, there was something about it that for me I was not enjoying as much, and then I had kind of a goofy idea, which was just surveying my audience and saying, "Hey, what do you guys like? What do you like? What do you not like?" And some of the feedback that they had was that they really missed the old Q&A format, and mm-hmm. So we're bringing back the Q&A format. And then, although I've enjoyed interviewing folks, typically people with new books coming out and stuff like that, it was getting a little bit onerous. And some of the people listening, they were like, this stuff's cool, but it feels like every single week is a sales pitch for a new book. So I kind of respected that. So what we're shifting the format over to, it will be a Q&A format, and then we're going to be interviewing people at the just kind of cutting edge of research. So like, I interviewed the folks that had recently released a pilot study looking at an autoimmune paleo diet and inflammatory bowel issues. And so I have a pretty deep pool of things that are interesting, I think, on the research side. And so getting these primary researchers in there to kind of unpack what they're doing, what the limitations of the studies are and stuff like that, because oftentimes these studies hit the media and they get completely misrepresented and whatnot. And so we can kind of, talk to the folks doing the research itself and kind of put some context around it. And that actually seems pretty fun and exciting, and it's going to be a departure from what I was doing before. So that was kind of why I had a little bit of a existential crisis about what I was up to.
You know, the reality is that I've actually gone through that as well. You know, I didn't, but I couldn't take off because this was my livelihood. But the show has recently found its feet again too, and it happens. If you do something long enough, it has to evolve. You just can't keep doing the same thing you were doing before. And as far as interviewing the authors of studies, I mean, that's where this show started, and then it deviated. And actually, I'm getting back to that again. So it's funny you say that, because the media is trying to overcome the noise floor of the competition. So the more contrary, the more absurd, the more counterintuitive a headline is, the more clicks they get. And they'll take a study that says A, but they'll find some piece of it that could be misconstrued as B, and they'll make that the headline. And the scientists, I've had them on. I mean, like the guy who did the resveratrol study, that resveratrol has the ability to turn on some of the same genetic switches as exercise. So, of course, the media took that and they said, skip the gym, have a glass of wine. And he was so furious about that. And when I had him on the show and we talked about his research, I said to him, how did you feel about he? And he became very, very obviously angry, even though he was on the phone. He said, you know how many bottles of wine you'd have to drink to get the resveratrol we used in the study? 1,000 a day. And it's like, shame. You know, I really do blame the media for a lot of the problems we have today in many areas of civilization, because in an effort to get people to tune in, they are willing to deliver misinformation.
Absolutely. And, you know, the interesting opportunity here is long format shows like what you do, what people are able to do on YouTube, the shenanigans of the mainstream media, interestingly, I think will ultimately be their undoing. Like, although there are a lot of people who still kind of buy into that, these, you know, there are folks, you know, like Joe Rogan, and again, like what you've been doing, you know, these long format things where it's a super deep dive on various topics are some of the most popular media consumed today. And you know, 15-second sound bites wedged in between, you know, commercials is not really the way that people are leaning. And so it's interesting. There's a huge opportunity here where people can search around, find a topic that they enjoy, and then do a PhD-level dive on it in, you know, kind of long-format programs like what you offer. So it's interesting. It will continue to be a problem. But, you know, your show and similar formatted shows like this are kind of the antidote and ultimately will be the solution to this problem.
Yeah, and no, I agree with you. And this topic we're talking about today may seem kind of not a big deal for most people. But in my humble opinion, what we're going to discuss today is actually the earliest points where diseases begin but are ignored thanks to people like Larry the Cable Guy and drugs like Nexium and stuff like that, where they people just ignore things and continue on. And then 5-10 years later, they end up with irritable bowel syndrome, ulcerative colitis, rheumatoid arthritis, and all these other disorders. So for the two people in my audience that don't know your story, you kind of through your upbringing were kind of set up to have a lot of these gut issues, right?
Yeah. It, looking back, I think I had low grade gut issues my whole life. My mom had autoimmunity. She was almost certainly gestationally diabetic at a minimum, likely type 2 diabetic during that whole time. And I ended up on antibiotics all through my childhood, took tetracycline for acne from the age of maybe 13 to 21. And so, yeah, I mean, I think I had some genetic predispositions toward some gut issues, and then kind of the epigenetic environment didn't set me up well for success. Right. And it's been the past 20 years of kind of tinkering and unpacking that to continue to improve my gut health. Yeah.
And then recently, I want to say your wife and yourself had not recently, probably several months ago, could have been the end of last year because everything just kind of gels together for me. But you guys were posting some stuff, some videos, and in one of the videos, I think you discussed an episode after eating foods that you know are really not good for you. That like the next couple days, you were shut down. You were out of it, right?
Yeah. And my wife, by contrast, is comparatively unfazed. Like I was wearing a continuous blood glucose monitor, and I really wanted to kind of stress test the parameters on that. And so we went out to a Mexican food meal, and I had beans and rice and some tortillas. And, I asked her, you know, do you feel carb headed? Did you feel bad after the meal? And she's like, yeah, I didn't feel quite right for a couple hours. And then she was back to normal. And I mean, literally, it was like three days for me. And, you know, it really plowed me under. And so she's interesting in that just across the board, she seems to have less reactivity to food and then also has a better glycemic response. And these are kind of the two considerations around food that I think that folks should just noodle on. There's a potential for immunogenic response, either an allergy or an intolerance or something like celiac disease where it's a, you know, kind of an autoimmune trigger. And then the other piece to this is kind of the glycemic response. And there's a reality that if we look at the way that pre-Westernized people, the way their blood glucose response kind of plays out, it is remarkably better than virtually everyone in Westernized populations. What we consider to be normal and okay, I think, is just on a spectrum somewhat less damaging than, you know, people like me who have really pretty terrible glycemic response. And so these are the two things that folks, in my opinion, really need to keep an eye on, that kind of glycemic response and then also that kind of immunogenic response to foods.
So I have phenomenal glycemic response. In fact, I've often posted my fasting blood sugar levels in the morning, and they're usually in the 60s, 67. Mm. And even postprandial, you know, it gets up to maybe 140, maybe, you know, and then it just clamps down and comes right back down again. So the glycemic response isn't a big issue for me. However, and those who've been listening to my show for years know some of what I'm saying, but for the sake of this discussion, my sister Valerie was misdiagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and ultimately treating her for Parkinson's disease killed her. The Sinemet, the over exacerbation of neuronal activity produced by the levodopa and carbidopa literally fried the substantia nigra of her brain over time, and she did develop Parkinson's disease. But what she was diagnosed when she went was exactly what I have today. So it's familial. I say it's familial, not genetic, because it's my sister and I ate the same foods growing up, and we learned to love the same foods. So, you know, you don't just get your genes from your parents. You also get a lot of your lifestyle habits from your parents as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to separate those like peanut butter and jelly. Once it's together, it's a sandwich. That's it. And so my sister was misdiagnosed, and so her outcome was different than mine is. But I have all the same symptoms that sent her to the doctor, the numbness in the legs, I just did a 23andMe. I probably have either some B malabsorption or B issue, because I think what's happening to and I have an Aunt Kay who died at like 100 years old who couldn't walk the last 30 years of her life. And I have my father who had these same symptoms, but they just said it was from his diabetes because he was type 2 diabetic. And now I'm coming around to think that the neuropathic manifestations within type 2 diabetics is not from the glycemic control as much as it is from the leaky gut that they most always have and the autoimmune response that causes a demyelination of the long nerves first, but it starts in the feet and works its way up to the knees and on, and also the hands. You feel like you have gloves on all the time, and I have these symptoms, okay? So with that being said, I can control them. I do a lot of really good things, and I'm going to control them and hopefully reverse them with some therapies that I'm about to start on my own. But with that being said, a few months ago, Elisa and I had the urge to have pizza. Now, I used to work in a pizzeria when I was a kid. I used to make pizza, right? So I don't really like pizza like most people do because I ate so much of it, I got sick of it. But right. She was like, you know, I really could go for some pizza. I said, you know, I could too. So we ordered Papa John's pizza. And it could have been any pizza. It could have been Domino. It doesn't matter. What people need to know about pizza dough is it's made from high gluten flour. It's made from flour that is specifically selected because it's 30 to 40% gluten. And that's what gives it its stretchy malleability that Gino, when he flips it up in the air, you see this flying saucer. It doesn't come apart and hit the walls because all the gluten in it creates almost elasticity in the dough. So pizza dough is high gluten flour to begin with. So to somebody who has a gluten intolerance, this is like just injecting gluten into their bloodstream and going, okay, now you're effed now, okay?
Right.
I ate three slices of pizza that night. I loved it. I loved it, right? It was so good. I was like, man, I can't believe I don't eat pizza anymore. The next morning I woke up, I'm not kidding when I say this, I had trouble walking. Like, I had to consciously think about walking. Now, it started to get better as the day went on. And by the next day, it started to go away completely. But all I kept thinking was, it was the pizza. And then what I thought about was, okay, so I have a predisposition for this to show up. I'm like the Wistar rat, you know what I mean, that has certain predispositions. Like, oh, we want to use this rat because they get cancer easy. So I already have, like, the benchmark is set low for me to develop manifestations of a disorder because of maybe the demyelination that I assume I have that's going on. But the average person doesn't have that, but they're still having this erosive effect, I have to believe. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really tough. This is where it gets tough. I don't think everybody responds to the same degree. I think that there are probably some people that could motor right through pizza three meals a day their whole life, and neither the glycemic response nor the immunogenic response is going to take them down at the kneecaps. Then flipping to the other side of this story, I think there are a remarkable number of people who are running around with a host of problems that are driven largely by gluten, or, you know, gluten is kind of a precipitator and kind of opens the door to reactivity to anything from like nightshades to dairy. And this is kind of the weird tightrope that I try to walk, where on the one hand, not turning it into a religious thing, you know, being anti-gluten, but then at the same time being like, hey, man, I really think that this is a legitimate problem for a lot of people. And you sound like you're talking out of both sides of your face by saying that. But that's kind of where I've settled out. And what's really interesting about this to me is you can have somebody who is subclinical. They don't really show any negative responses to gluten. And we've seen this a lot in the folks that I've worked with in the military. And that they will get exposed to a significant stressor, a gut bug, a virus, traumatic brain injury, you know, a variety of different kind of stressful inputs. And all of a sudden, their gut kind of goes wonky and they start heading down this kind of autoimmune path. So another piece to this is what doesn't bother you today may not necessarily be benign tomorrow. And so, it, you know, it's one of these things that I just think you've got it, it's a rock that needs to be turned over occasionally. I'm doing some work with a really nice gal, Chrissy Mae Cagney, who runs the very popular website Donuts and Deadlifts. And she, you know, and by the name Donuts and Deadlifts, okay, you know, gluten, like not that big of a deal. But she discovered that she has celiac disease, like full on celiac disease. She ended up discovering this at the end of a wasting away process where she lost 40 pounds. She has gastroparesis. And the precipitator for this was that she shifted her diet to a vegan diet. And the bulk of the food that she was eating were gluten based kind of protein, because she's a power lifter and a CrossFitter. And so she still needed to maintain a certain protein intake. But the volume of the gluten exposure that she had, I would argue the kind of low quality of the nutritive factors, like you mentioned, the B vitamins and whatnot, like once you start damaging the gut lining, even if you have some predilections towards, say, like low methylation throughput, right, and whatnot, then you're just not absorbing them at all. And it becomes a downward spiral. The gut gets more inflamed, so you absorb fewer nutrients. When you absorb fewer nutrients, the gut can't repair. And, I mean, it's been a hellish process for her to come back from that, and it's very similar to the one that I had. Now, does everybody react this way? Absolutely not. But there are a remarkable.
But see,
this is my point.
This is my point. Not everyone reacts this way. Those of us who react this way, we're hypersensitive to it. But the takeaway has to be that while a person who doesn't necessarily feel the assault, the assault is still going on in their body. The degradation of the biological systems by this pro-inflammatory aggravator, it's still taking some toll. I want to take a break. I want to come back and I want to talk about actually feeling hungover from foods. So, I couldn't walk. I was like, holy F, what happened? Is it like I actually got worried, like the disease progressed and like I went to stage two. But it started to get better, and I realized it was the pizza. But some people, they eat these foods and the next day, they just don't feel themselves. I want to talk about those people for a minute. We're talking with Rob Wolf. This is Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There's growing interest in hemp CBD products within the fitness and wellness communities for focus and recovery. Are you one of those people? Then check out the H Hemp Company. Learn why they only use U.S.-grown hemp. See how a portion of every purchase at the H Hemp Company goes to helping stop the opioid and anti-anxiety drug epidemics. The finest full-spectrum hemp preparations with benefits patented by the U.S. Department of Health. Honestly, use code SHR and save 20% off plus free shipping. The H Hemp Company.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Thrive Market wants to give you $60 in free organic products of your choice plus free shipping just to get you to check them out. Over 4,000 organic products to choose from and up to 50% off all their products. And shopping at Thrive Market is more convenient than anywhere else. Order online or on their app in minutes, day or night, and get everything delivered right to your door. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad and get your $60 in free organic foods and free shipping today.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Oh, wrong music. Fire the producer. Oh, wait, that's me. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Rob Wolf. Rob, you have an event coming up soon, right? A masterclass of some sort?
Oh, we released this thing called the Keto Masterclass. You go to robwolf.com/KM. It's a soup to nuts program for implementing a ketogenic diet. And 13 modules, video, written material, 126-page workbook that sounds kind of daunting, but it's all designed to make it easy for folks to actually do the program.
I like that. You know, what I'm finding is that there are so many interpretations. It's almost like the Bible, you know? I mean, one of the reasons that I just can't get with religion is because you put two people or three people in a room and give them a Bible, and you have four different opinions about what a passage is supposed to mean. And that's where interpretation comes in. And science is science is generally a little bit more what's the word I'm looking for? Specific than that. But yet there are so many interpretations of what the ketogenic diet is. Elisa just attended a keto class or whatever we want to call it, because Elisa's working with Metagenics now. Very good company. Yeah,
I just met the CEO this weekend. Great guy.
Great company. Some of the best supplements I've ever seen. Well thought out, researched. I mean, high quality. Anyway, she attended a symposium, if you will, on the ketogenic diet recently, and the guy leading the class had just eaten two bananas like an hour before that, and then he proceeded to tell people that he was in ketosis. And I don't know if he was in ketosis because I didn't check his ketones. And I have a funny feeling he doesn't even own a ketone meter. I really do, because he said so many things that were just not right about the ketogenic diet. But we really do need this, don't we? I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's like telephone when you were a kid. And we'll get back to the topic here in a second, but it plays well into this. It's like telephone when you're a kid. What you said at the beginning and what comes out the other end is completely different.
Yeah, and you know, if there's one laudable element to this masterclass is that the beginning of it is a triage process. And so we ask you a lot of questions to figure out what you're up to, you know, who are you, where are you trying to go? And so, for example, people who are doing CrossFit or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or some sort of highly glycolytic sport, I put a really big question mark as to whether or not a ketogenic diet would be a good fit for those folks. I know some people are able to make that work. I'm a huge fan of a ketogenic diet. I've eaten around that you know, kind of low-carb keto most of the last 20 years, and I just feel really good there. But one of the challenging aspects that I have is fueling my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I do a little bit more carbs than what you would see in a traditional ketogenic diet. And in tracking my blood work, the ketones and blood glucose levels, I seem to kind of cycle in and out of ketosis.
And that's, for me, and humbly, that's where I think we belong. Because from an evolutionary perspective, that's where we've come from. We've not been in, if we've been in ketosis for 2 years, that's pretty much telling the body, wow, our environment sucks, man. We're in really, really big trouble. We shouldn't have babies, so shut off sex hormones. Like, we're in trouble. But I want to save that discussion. I want to circle back to that at the last segment of the show, because I just did a show with Patrick Arnold, and I proposed some changes to sports nutrition based on something you just said. Let's talk about, so what about the person who ignores the fact that after their favorite meal, they end up with the runs, or they end up the next day with like completely stuffed up nose, or they end up having greatest sensitivity in certain pain areas where their sports injuries were, or just the general malaise and brain fog the day after their favorite meal, and they ignore that, and they just go down that path year after year?
Yeah, I mean, so it's tough because on the one hand, when I think back about my own process with this, I always had brain fog as a kid. I mean, I can think back to like a couple of backpacking trips and stuff like that where I was like, man, I feel really good. And then other than that, it felt like my head was stuffed with cotton and the world was like 3 feet outside of where my brain was. And so I think for a lot of people, these low grade kind of food intolerances, or maybe not getting the glycemic load appropriate for him or her, I think that this has just always been their state. And then, so that's a piece of it. Another piece of it is, oftentimes these problems, like you mentioned, the Nexium, which that GERD, the acid reflux, this is something that usually kind of creeps up on folks. You know, they maybe get one meal out of the month, you know, gives them kind of some acid reflux, and then it's two meals out of the month, and then three, and then it's 27, and then 30, but it grows over the course of time. And so they don't really, you know, it's kind of like the frog boiling in water. And so it kind of creeps up on us. And then another piece to this is our kind of symptoms-based medical interventions. We have some decent ways of kind of suppressing those symptoms.
Right.
And we kind of assume that that's okay. And so it's really, it's a murky problem to unpack, because you know, it may sneak up on you. It may have always seemed like it was normal. This is kind of why I've always defaulted to these 30-day elimination diet resets, because people will say, hey, man, I'm not reactive to XYZ. And I'm like, okay, when's the last time you went a week without one of these foods? And they're like, okay, never. And so, okay, well, let's just to kick the tires and just do some diligence on this. Let's try eliminating the standard ones. Grains, legumes, and dairy tend to be the biggies. And then we reintroduce and see how folks do. And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but my first book has been out coming up on 10 years, and it still sells really well. And I'm not good looking. I'm not particularly smart. I don't have a TV show, but it helps people. You know, that recommendation of a 30-day reset and then reintroduction really helps people in a way that we just can't discover doing any other process.
It's really amazing when you think about it. You know, and part of it is because we have been convinced through the medical orthodoxy telling us that drugs are the only answers. We've been convinced that food really doesn't play that large of a role. Oh, yeah, you know, it plays a role, but people don't realize that a lot of their diseases will go away when they cut out the foods that are aggravating them. And they just don't understand it.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, possibly one of the worst offenders in this story as far as specialties are gastroenterologists. Like, they are some of the most, like, outspoken that, oh, yeah, ulcerative colitis, diet can't address that. Yeah, but IBS, diet can't address that. And it is crazy that you would dismiss, you know, this massive surface area where our bodies are interacting with the outside environment, and this notion that, you know, like, if you have a skin rash or something and you go to a dermatologist, one of the first things they're going to ask you is, like, well, what type of things are coming in contact with your skin, you know, detergents or you know, some sort of a irritating plant or something. But we have this massive surface area in our gut. And in general, it's changing. It's changing slowly. But, you know, in general, gastroenterologists are just completely dismissive of the notion that there could be whole classes of foods that are really problematic for folks.
Well, and think about it. So it's passing through your gut. It's touching the inside of your gut. Where's the problem inside the gut? Why not look at the things that are passing through and coming in contact with the gut? They just dismiss it. You're right. It's silly. I never thought about it, but gastroenterologists are probably the worst offenders of this.
Yeah, and again, this is, if you look at the way that the research on this topic has been tackled, there is very little that has been focused on either qualitative elements of food, like either immunogenicity or, you know, like with the specific carbohydrate diet, that there may be particular classes of carbohydrates that are problematic. And so that stuff is very new, like this recently published pilot study on autoimmune paleo for inflammatory bowel issues. The results they have are really incredible. They didn't have a control arm because this one was just kind of being established for efficacy and what have you, but still the results were really impressive. And then if you dig around a little bit on some of these similar approaches, like the specific carbohydrate diet and some other things like that, they are really impressive with regards to various inflammatory bowel issues. And it's when you look at what our options are, you know, like Humira and some of the other immunosuppressant drugs, it's a crap. I mean, it is just not a good option. Now, if somebody is facing, you know, death due to an acute inflammatory situation, clearly these things have their role. But this is how we're tackling this to deal with the chronic state. It's a failure. It's a massive failure.
Yeah, and it's sad because people are losing their lives. They're losing quality of their lives. They're losing years on their lives. I mean, this, you know, these diseases progress, and they take their toll. And it's amazing if the majority of Americans would just understand the whole food paradox, that you need to eat food, but some foods are actually not good for you to eat. We could probably cut healthcare costs in half. The problem is, you've got all of these dietary templates that have now become almost like religious dogma. You know, the vegans, the vegetarians, you know, paleo, not so much. Paleo, they're pretty flexible. They're like, nah, eat protein, eat vegetables. No, we're with the vegans, eat more vegetables. You know, we're with the omnivores, eat more protein, good protein. And I think that paleo was the first diet to truly bring into the context the quality of the food, like organic foods, not lots of pesticides, and animals that have led natural lives and eaten diets that they were predisposed to eat, as opposed to fed Purina cow chow or something like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think paleo, it's owed to the paleo movement that the quality of your food started to become a discussion, because vegans don't give a damn about the quality of food in most cases. In fact, their attitude is, as long as I'm not eating anything from an animal, it's fine. I can eat Eggos all day long. I'm a good vegan.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting in that regard. You know, paleo can become very insular and can be neurotic, but this is just kind of an interesting aside. There are more, if you go to ResearchGate and nose around on there, these are the studies that are underway currently. There are more studies with the term paleo in the topic than I believe have been done to date. And
wow.
So although, you know, popularity of various topics wax and wane, this notion of kind of evolutionary biology applied to nutrition, I have a feeling it's going to have some stickiness similar to Newtonian physics and quantum mechanics. You know, it's one of these kind of fundamental things, and there's going to be lots and lots of detail, lots and lots of nuance. You know, Lauren got a lot of things right. He got far more right than he got wrong, but this is part of the scientific process of discovery and throwing ideas out there, and then we've got to kick the tires on it and see what happens. But there's, you know, for the folks that are just adamant that the paleo concept is ridiculous, I just my main repost state of that is that the notion of an ancestral diet has definitely infected the research community, and we seem to be getting some very impressive results out of that scene. And so it's really not going to go away. I think that there's kind of an attractor here where if you're not considering glycemic load, immunogenicity of foods, some other qualitative natures, including nutrient density, it's going to be like a cookie diet or a cabbage soup diet or something like that. Like, it's really not built off of sound principles.
Right. Well, and I just can't understand why people can't get with the idea of an ancestral diet. And you know, because what we're saying is this is what we've eaten for millennia. And then when food became industrial, commerce, money-driven, those things changed. All we're saying is let's go back to when we ate what we were genetically predisposed to eat, what influenced our genome. Let's go back to that. How people can argue with that is bizarre. Now I will say what murkies the water, and I'm sorry to pick on the vegans, but I just think the vegan diet is the most unsustainable diet in the world. Without a membership at GNC, so you can buy all your supplements that you're not getting in your diet, which is why vegans get it wrong. We don't have any ancestral vegans, okay? They died of malnutrition. In fact, I learned from Rob Wolf on a show that we did many, many years ago about Australopithecus gracile and Australopithecus robustus. And one of those was the one that started to eat meat, found bones maybe or whatever. And the other one was exclusively a vegan, and one of them is gone. And that's the one that was exclusively a vegan. So, you know, when vegans argue that we were designed to eat vegan, it's a blatant lie. And why no one just puts them over their knee and spanks them and said, now stop telling people that, because we would have died of B12 malnutrition. We would have died of so many different malnutrition of diseases of malnutrition had we been vegan, that we would not be doing this podcast today, because the human race would have ceased to exist.
Yeah, or we would be very, very, very different than what we are. Absolutely. Yeah, and there is a reality there, though, that when you have someone eating an industrialized modern diet, if they shift to largely whole, unprocessed foods, there's going to be a period of time where
where the vegan diet fools people. So people go, I've been eating crap for 30 years. I just went vegan. I feel so good. Yes, if you would have switched to cardboard, you would have felt better than the crap you were eating. Now, you would have gotten sick eventually, just like you will on the vegan diet. But yes, it's more about what you remove from your diet at that point as to what you switch to.
Yeah, and you know, there's some funny stories as to the long-term adherence on a vegan diet, there's some interesting studies coming out that when vegans drink, like they go out in a group and they drink, their dirty little secret is that they go and crack out on tacos or steak or, you know, something like that. And you could make an argument that in that context, if you're getting this dose of really nutrient-dense animal products, it may just be enough to kind of keep them afloat and may kind of paper over some other problems. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to go back to keto for a second, and I want to talk to you about something I proposed to Patrick Arnold. I want to propose it to you and get your opinion. Stay tuned. We're talking with Rob Wolf. We'll be right back.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Guess who's back? Age Force is back with a buy one, get one free introductory offer to the Superhuman Radio audience. Choose from any of their amazingly popular patches. Their HGH Secretagog patch, testosterone booster, fat burner, anti-inflammatory patch, all of them buy one, get one free. Nootropic Memory and Enhancer, melatonin and GABA, resveratrol, the list goes on and on. No one, I repeat, no one has the most complete list of patch-delivered supplements than Age Force. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Age Force banner ad today and get buy one, get one free for the entire Superhuman Radio audience. Check it out. Don't wait. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new transformation challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then train fasted and remain fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes? The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
If you go to Whole Foods and buy anything, you need to be shopping at Thrive Market. ThriveMarket.com has the same products you're going to find in these healthy food stores. at up to 50% off. In fact, I ordered some stuff from Thrive this week, and some of the things that I bought from Thrive were half the price of what they are at Whole Foods. And right now, if you go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad, you'll get $60 worth of free organic foods and free shipping. Go there, check them out. Stop wasting money and stop wasting time, because getting through traffic to get over to Whole Foods in my town is quite the chore. And now I can just order things on my Thrive app and they'll be delivered right to my door. Hey, that rhymes. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Rob Wolf. So, Rob, I've been fooling around with lots of different sports nutrition protocols for the past couple of years now. And a couple of years ago, I got the same message that you said. You know, if you're someone who's in the kind of sport that's highly dependent on glucose, going keto may not be the greatest thing for you. I was using All-American EFX's Carbolin, which is like 50 grams of a designer carbohydrate. It hits you hard and fast, and it doesn't crash you afterward because there's no sugar in it. And I found that I was training a lot better, but I like to train fasted. So one day I decided to try an experiment. I put a scoop of protein powder that also happened to be had added essential amino acids, free-form amino acids in it. I put a scoop of Carbolin, and I put a scoop of ketone salts, which was basically about 14 grams of butyrate. I shook it up. I drank it a half hour before going to the gym, and I went to the gym. I not only trained harder and could have trained even longer, but I left the gym bounding out, feeling fantastic. And then it dawned on me. Just like we do with other dietary modalities, everybody picks a camp, digs their heels in, and fights. I'm right. You're right. I'm wrong. You're wrong. What if the body wants it all? What if the body would use ketones for some processes, organ systems, and tissue, while it would use glucose for some other processes, organ systems, and tissues? And what if this demand is created in milliseconds and can switch back and forth, and you're only giving your body ketones? Why are we arguing about this? Why don't we leverage ketone supplements, add carbohydrates to them, and then add some protein powder with amino acids and say to the body, have it all. Do what you want with it.
Yeah, you know, it's a really good point, and I think under generally ideal circumstances, we should a good sign of metabolic flexibility, of metabolic health, is that if we get a decent whack of carbohydrate, we don't get a hypoglycemic event at the end of that, that we manage that blood glucose high and low in a pretty effective way that doesn't lead into, kind of rebound hypoglycemia. If we needed to go a day or two without eating or eating very little, that it wouldn't be like a bug against a windshield, you know, where you get shaky and crazy and hungry and everything. And this is one of the kind of questions that I ask when talking to people that I work with. How long can you go without eating, between meals before you experience some problems? Can you eat, train fasted, and do you do okay? And I think that's a really important point. But the flip side of that, again, is that a sign of the ability to shift between fat and carbohydrate as a fuel is usually a sign that your mitochondria are functioning well. And there are a remarkable number of things that can damage mitochondrial function. And just a short list of them are antibiotics, iron overload, gut dysbiosis, sleep disturbances, just the state of being obese actually has a pretty profound oxidative stress impact on the mitochondria. And once the mitochondria get damaged, then we get into this mode where we tend to mainly shift towards a glycolytic fueled metabolism. And this is where people really end up on a carbohydrate roller coaster, and it can be hard to get off of that. And oftentimes a ketogenic diet may be the one tool that can reset that whole process. And for some people, much above those ketogenic levels of carbohydrates, they end up having problems. And so I completely agree that for most people, under most circumstances, being able to shift back and forth is likely the ideal default human state, but because of kind of modern living, I didn't even think about this, but it just occurred to me, epigenetic changes. You know, what if our grandparents were a little bit metabolically broken or accumulated some methylation changes due to antibiotics or gut health or, you know, who knows what, and then that influenced our parents, and then our parents had a similar process that influenced us. So some people may be experiencing multi-generational epigenetic changes, kind of skewing things towards a not really robust metabolism. And interestingly, you know, things like fasting and a ketogenic diet seem to press an interesting reset button. There's this process called hysteresis, which is kind of a memory type element to systems. Engineers will be familiar with something called a Schmidt trigger. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting with these triggers is it may require a really large input to flip a switch on.
Right.
And just as an arbitrary number, you may need to reach an arbitrary threshold of 5 to turn the switch on. But that switch stays 100% on until the input signal reaches an arbitrarily low number, say like a 0.5.
Right.
And then it actually turns it off. And this is what we see in kind of a glycolysis or a glucose-centric metabolism that has basically been broken. And this is some of the benefit that I think we see when people, you know, they'll try doing a moderate carb intake and it's maybe a little better but not great. And then they keep ratcheting down. They do some ketosis or maybe even some fasting. And all of a sudden, it's just kind of some magic happens and things really kick over. So yeah, but again, this is the funny thing. On the one hand, we should probably be able to eat a really wide variety of macronutrients and motor along just fine. But there are a lot of folks that for whatever reason, they are kind of in this metabolic cul-de-sac and ketosis is oftentimes the one final thing that is going to allow them to reverse a lot of these metabolic issues.
So since you talked about iron overload, I want to just throw this in at the end. This is something that I've focused on for many years. In fact, I started to promote at least quarterly blood donation to the guys in my audience for years now. I mean, we started talking about this years ago, and it's actually becoming much more popular. There's a lot of evidence that men seem to accumulate more iron. It could be because women have menstrual cycles. I don't believe women bleed enough every month to truly reduce iron overload. I think there's something else going on with testosterone. But also, one of the things that lowers iron overload is whole unpasteurized dairy from grass-fed cows because it has something called lactoferrin. Lactoferrin bonds to iron and allows the liver to excrete it.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And a lot of people don't know this. And so you have these people who are like, oh, dairy is so bad for – you know, I'm so tired of people jumping on dairy. And I know that I get the whole ancestral angle, like we didn't milk cows and stuff. But what I do want to say about dairy is this. Of everything else that you're putting in your mouth, you, me, Rob Wolf, everybody in this audience – all of those things we put in our mouth every day and we call food, we have learned that we could eat them without them killing us and that they gave us some nutrition. But only one thing has ever been created by nature to be food, and that is milk. And this is why you can give dolphins cow's milk and raise them, or humans can drink a cow's milk, or because this is the only thing that was designed from an evolutionary perspective to be a nutritive food for a species. And so crapping on milk just says you don't understand that. It's the only thing that is food. Everything else, we've gotten lucky and it didn't kill us. Well, it killed a lot of people before we stopped eating it, maybe.
I guess the only pushback I'd have on that is that for a lot of people, there are some immunogenic considerations around dairy. And this is, you know, interestingly, a good friend of mine, Pedro Bastos, he's in Portugal. And if you can ever get him on the show, he is
Hook us up. Okay.
I'll do that. He's a brilliant guy. But, you know, in traditional dairying cultures, they actually only milked their animals at certain times of the year. And it was actually when certain hormone levels were lower in the animals. Like somehow they figured this out and they tended to ferment the dairy, which tends to mitigate
neutralize
some of the immunogenic effects.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, just as a quick aside, like, I have real problem with cow dairy other than maybe like some cream and butter. Like, the protein in cow dairy, really, it gives me acne. I get some kind of joint inflammation. But sheep and goat dairy I can eat with absolute reckless
But here's why I say that is, okay? And I could be totally wrong, right? But we know that everything a mother eats gets into the milk that she feeds the baby. We know that.
Right.
Right? Well, if you have someone who has a gluten intolerance and you give them conventional dairy, they're going to be intolerant to the dairy because what's in there is gluten, because they're feeding cows corn and grains to, you know, they don't feed. See, by and large, 80% of the dairy out there today is commercially produced. Cows are eating an artificial diet, and those diets happen to be the triggers of a lot of autoimmunity. So we're getting it in our milk, and we get it in our eggs, too, because we know that we pass along in our germ lines and in the carriers of those germ lines a lot of the things that we eat as well. So that's why egg and dairy are unfortunately culprits of autoimmunity. But when you start getting dairy from cows that really do, they're not getting alfalfa that's genetically modified and sprayed. They're actually eating grass from the earth, and that's what they're sustaining their life on, and they produce milk. You find that people don't have the intolerances. Like there were people, there was a study that showed that people who think they're lactose intolerant really aren't, and they didn't know what it was. And I suppose to the scientists, what if it's this premise that I'm, he says, you know, we never thought about that. So I have a funny feeling that goats, they're not supplementing with them. They're letting them graze. They're letting them eat whatever they want.
Right, right.
I have a funny feeling it comes back to what the animal ate gets into the milk. And if you are triggered by that, you're going to be triggered by that milk.
I completely agree. I think that this is, again, some kind of confluence of problematic epigenetics, but then so again, most humans probably should be able to handle some amount of dairy if you are legitimately, if you lose the lactase enzyme
right.
with aging, then usually some sort of fermented variety is fine. But, you know, this is an interesting thing. I always can handle lactose. Like, I have no issue on the lactose side. It's
the
definitely a protein issue, and I've noticed that by doing, you know, like whey protein isolates and casein isolates and stuff like that. And I actually order some whey and casein from Mount Capra goat dairy. And I do great with that. Yeah.
And that's supposed to be closer to human dairy anyway. All right, let's plug a couple things here. Your website is robwolf.com, right? R-O-B-B-W-O-L-F.com, right?
Yeah.
Is that where people can also sign up for the Keto Masterclass?
You can find that there. It's robwolf.com/KM for the Keto Masterclass.
Okay. Very, very cool. Great discussion. Great having you back on the show. Thanks for being here today, Rob.
Carl, thank you. Always a huge honor being on the show. Thanks for all the hard work you do.
And real quick, people can find your podcast on iTunes, right?
Yes. It's remained on iTunes. We were just on a bit of a hiatus for a couple of months, but
so
we're back at it.
Everybody who's listening, the Rob Wolf's podcast is back up. Go there and listen. All right, we'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, take care.
Take care, Rob. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by a scientist from UC Irvine who has discovered the enzyme that may be responsible for memory formation, and by this discovery, perhaps giving people their lives back. Stay tuned. Age Forces popular DHEA plus pregnenolone patches. Buy one, get one free. That's right. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Age Force banner ad today and take advantage of this amazing patch that delivers both DHEA and pregnenolone through the skin into the bloodstream. Again, superhumanradio.net listeners, go to the website and click the Age Force buy one, get one free DHEA and pregnenolone patch today. Take advantage of this amazing offer.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieved their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products to dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com. 74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Yo.
If you have life insurance and you regularly listen to Superhuman Radio, you're a different class of person, and you should be paying less for your life insurance. That's why Health IQ wants you to go to their website and take the quiz, because they can save you up to 30% on life insurance. It's healthiq.com/SHR. You go there and check them out and see if they can't save you money. I know they can, because you are a different person than the average person in the population. You train. They care that you can deadlift your weight. They care that you can do push-ups. They care that you pay attention to the ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting. And they reward you. So check them out. And if you don't have life insurance, get life insurance before you leave a group of people that you love in a terrible situation. All right, so several years ago, we had Dr. Dale Bredesen on the show. We started talking about different modalities of diet and treatments that could actually reverse the symptoms of Alzheimer's. There's new research out that is looking at a genetic change that could actually restore the production of an enzyme that helps the brain, old brains and damaged brains, reform memories again. My guest is Dr. Marcelo Wood from University of California at Irvine. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. It's an important discussion. I'm going to be 60 soon, you know? My brain doesn't function like it used to. It definitely functions great. I can't complain. I have a fantastic memory, but I think that has a lot more to do with my lifestyle. But talk about this research. What research preceded this that made you go hunting for this?
Yeah, so this the ideas and the concepts that went into this research really began probably 15 to 20 years ago. And some of this work has been conceptualized back and integrated from ideas coming from the cancer research field.
Really?
Yeast genetics, the learning and memory field and neuroscience. All these things have come together to allow us to understand better how memory formation occurs and the constraints on memory formation.
Well, why can't, what can contribution to this discussion about memory consolidation and formation came from the cancer side?
Yeah, so when I was a graduate student training at Princeton University in the Department of Molecular Biology, I was a cancer molecular biologist, and we were trying to understand how normal cells transform into tumor cells. And there are genes that you have to turn on and off for that to happen. They're called oncogenes and tumor suppressor genes. And our research back then identified these enzymes that kind of restructure what's called chromatin. And chromatin is the protein DNA structure that allows your DNA to fit inside of a cell. So, for example, as human beings, we have 23 pairs of chromosomes. And if you were to unravel those chromosomes and line up those chromosomes, you would have 6 feet of DNA. And you need to compact 6 feet of DNA into a cell. And that's a microscopic cell, right? And so that's a level of compaction of about 10,000-fold. And 10,000-fold is a number that is inconceivable to us to understand.
Right.
But if you took like a piece of paper, for example, and you folded that in half, that would be 1-fold. Fold that again, 2-fold.
Yeah, but usually, when you fold things on top of themselves, while they may get shorter, they get thicker. And usually the thickness is pretty much in line with the original length. So that chromatin is almost like a magician to be able to not only fold it up and compact it, but
it
keep it from getting so thick that it still won't fit in the cell.
Right. And it's a way to the supercoiling that occurs is still not completely understood. And scientists are unraveling even new ways of understanding how genes are turned on and off in brain cells because of that supercoiling. It gives all sorts of new mechanisms a role.
Maybe chromatin works the way file compression software does, where it takes repetitive data and then and enters it as a single entry with a program code that says, this is used 16 times in this strand in these locations, so that you don't have 16 of those particular occurrences. Now it's just one.
Right. Except for with the genome, everything has to be there all the time.
Okay.
It's just the access. So, for example, the ability to compact chromatin in this way and your genome, and that chromatin structure only allows certain genes to be turned on in certain organs. So, for example, a kidney cell and a liver cell, they are genetically identical. They carry the same genome in your body. But when a kidney cell divides, it gives rise to two new kidney cells. And it's the chromatin structure that dictates that.
Interesting.
And so the liver cell divides into two new liver cells, not kidney cells. And it's because of the chromatin structure.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So in your brain, the neurons in your brain, for the most part, are not dividing. There are some regions of the brain where new neurons are being born daily, but in most of the brain, that's not occurring. And so these neurons have established a way of controlling chromatin structure so that certain genes are turned on and off for different functions, including memory. And so in the cancer field, folks had quickly tuned into this kind of regulation of gene expression. But in neuroscience and the learning and memory field, that hadn't been appreciated yet. Neuroscience is a very complex field of research that is multidisciplinary, so it moves a little slower than other fields of research. And so we took these ideas from cancer, yeast genetics. I'll tell you a little fun story about yeast and what they can do and how it's applicable to what we do in a little while. And we tested, okay, are these same mechanisms involved in memory formation? So, for example, we know that certain genes have to be turned on for neurons, the cells in your brain, to enhance how they communicate with each other and then participate in things like memory formation, the persistence of memory, memory recall. And in the young brain, those genes come on normally. They then come off. You know, the regulation is very dynamically and tightly controlled. But as we begin to age, the chromatin structure appears to become more compressed.
Mm.
And so then getting access to the genes that we need to turn on and off becomes more difficult.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. And so we didn't have a really good handle on, well, what genes are they, how does this work, et cetera. And so we ran a set of experiments looking in the young brain, the aged brain, and got just big data analysis and computational methods to kind of weed through all of that data, and we found several genes that they go up, they get turned on in the young brain, they fail to get turned on in the aging brain when that age is associated with memory impairments,
mm-hmm,
in memory formation. But if we manipulate an enzyme that is, it's like a molecular brake pad. It's called HDAC3, histone deacetylase 3.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So HDAC3 is like a molecular brake pad, and it kind of clamps down on specific genes and kind of shuts them off. And in the young brain, that's okay. It comes off when it needs to, and it comes and reattaches when it needs to. But in the aged brain, it seems to be a little overeager, and it keeps things compressed for too long or too tightly. And so in our studies, we released that molecular brake pad. We disabled that enzyme, and it opened up chromatin structure. And now in the aged brain, there are a handful of genes that come back on that are critically important for memory formation. And one of those is called period one. And so period one is really cool because you may or may not know this. The scientists who discovered period one and its homolog, period two, these are two genes, the scientists who discovered those and their role in circadian rhythm won the Nobel Prize last year. So what they discovered was these genes and how they regulate the circadian rhythm in our brain. And give rise.
Wow, this is you know. So I'm listening to you, and mm-hmm, my little brain is working. I'm thinking, okay, you know, proteins. Chromatin is a protein. Proteins do different things in cellular communication than they do when we think of them from a nutritive or dietary standpoint. These proteins, uh-huh, are strung together as messages. A lot of times what do I want to call it now? It'll come to me. But anyway, these proteins, mm-hmm, are strung together as messages that go from cell to cell. So we know now that diet affects a lot of this, right? So we know that, when insulin resistance increases, we know that a lot of these messages, they become fouled up. They end up having no message, or they end up becoming almost contributors to plaque buildup. I'm listening to you talk about this, and I'm thinking to myself, does diet play a role in this enzyme and its ability to overcompress the DNA?
Yeah, so funny you should mention diet. So I'll take the conversation back to chromatin structure.
Okay.
Right? So the proteins that wrap the DNA up, they're called histone proteins. And they're one of the most evolutionarily conserved proteins that we know of. Every organism has them.
Wow.
And they have these amino terminal tails, these protein tails, that get modified. So different enzymes, all sorts of enzymes, modify them. They add little chemical attachments to them. And the compilation of all of those modifications and modifications on your DNA and modifications on RNA, all of that is called your epigenome. It's above the level of the DNA.
And here's your epigenetics coming into play, which diet plays
exactly
a role. But also, so does sleep. We know that sleep has epigenetic effects to change certain
absolutely
gene sets. And you're talking about the suprachiasmatic nuclei, and you're talking about circadian rhythm. This is really amazing.
Yeah, so the epigenome, so almost all of those modifications are metabolites. And so your diet integrates at the level of epigenetic information.
Oh, man.
And then helps control and kind of nudge gene expression in different directions. And we know that's true in development. We know that's true in muscle function, in brain function. So diet's a huge part. And exercise is also a big part.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one of the directions that we're taking this in right now. So we know that if we manipulate this enzyme HDAC3, this molecular brake pad, we kind of ease its constriction of chromatin, we can bring back memory formation. And persistent, robust memory through the regulation of period one.
I want to take a break, but I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Dr. Dale Bredesen's work? I think he's at UCLA, right? Dale Bredesen?
I don't know.
Okay. But are you familiar with his work at all in the area of Alzheimer's?
Bit.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Because this fits, because what you're saying is something that he says too, and I love it because you're coming at it from a completely different angle and arriving at pretty much some of the same conclusions. I want to take a quick commercial break. We're going to pick this up on the other side. Stay tuned.
Percent of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad, or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping. What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm, and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, That's EFXSports.com.
If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
There's growing interest in hemp CBD products within the fitness and wellness communities for focus and recovery. Are you one of those people? Then check out the H Hemp Company. Learn why they only use U.S.-grown hemp. See how a portion of every purchase at the H Hemp Company goes to helping stop the opioid and anti-anxiety drug epidemics. The finest full-spectrum hemp preparations with benefits patented by the U.S. Department of Health. Honestly, use code SHR and save 20% off plus free shipping. The H Hemp Company.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you did not catch last week's Military Fitness Radio, you must hear it. If you think flow state is something that only athletes experience, soldiers in combat experience it as well. It's a connection to millions of years of evolutionary instincts. In the interview, he said, "We were moving through the field like a pack of wolves." It's amazing, this interview, and it's highly addictive. Once a person experiences this level of hypervigilance and orchestrated aggression, it's very, very hard to turn it off, and you want to feel it again and again. Check out Military Fitness Radio at superhumanradio.net. So we're talking about memory with Dr. Marcelo Wood from University of California at Irvine. So let's pick this back up again for a second. Exercise, diet, these all have the effect. And it was the endoplasmic reticulum that I couldn't think of before that assembles these messages in a bottle, if you will, out of what. So are we talking about something that is more prevalent in someone who has developed metabolic disorder already, and they have a lot of these, this cumulative change in the brain that seems to precipitate a higher degree of cognitive issues? Is this as simple as saying, if we correct the things that cause this particular outbreak in our population, we could actually maybe change that genetic trigger and the enzyme ensuing?
Oh, I think it's probably more complicated than that, depending on whether it's kind of where the genetic issue is. Some genetic manipulations and single nucleotide polymorphisms in people will predispose them to have metabolic machinery that functions in one way or another. and you can compensate for that with diet and exercise. Others are kind of more severe in that they've hit a threshold or a mechanistic stop where it, you know, you're just not going to be able to compensate.
Right.
Okay. So it just depends on the individual.
So talk about the research. So how was the study designed?
Yeah, so the study is basically designed to identify, we looked at just every single gene that was being turned on during memory formation, and then we kind of ran some data analysis filters to understand what of those genes, which ones were not being turned on correctly. And then our third group was if we manipulate this HDAC3 enzyme, and we can do that genetically, we can do it pharmacologically, and we're working with several companies to make pharmacological inhibitors of this enzyme as a cognitive treatment therapeutic approach for different things. And so we wanted to know what genes then are rescued or come back on with that manipulation. And that's what allowed us to zero in on this gene, period one. Then we went in to prove it. So it's nice to have an observation.
Right.
But in science, you know, you want to have a more causal mechanistic understanding. And so then we went in and used, I don't know if you've heard, a gene editing approach called CRISPR.
Yes.
We used a CRISPR approach to only turn on that one gene, period one. And if we only turn on just that one gene, memory formation is restored.
Wow.
And neuronal plasticity. So how the neurons talk to each other and communicate and form long-lasting forms of communication, which scientists believe underlie memory formation and the persistence of memory, that is also restored.
Did you check to see if any of those normal actors in neuroplasticity were turned on, like BDNF, or did you just see neuroplasticity turned on and now you have to go find out why?
Yeah, so we haven't finished fully investigating all the other aspects. But in other projects, we are looking at, for example, how exercise patterns regulate BDNF. And this is a different project, but we're looking at how exercise generates a form of molecular memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an epigenetic molecular memory, and we know that cells can do this. And an example comes from yeast genetics. So yeast, it's a unicellular organism, and if it's exposed to a food source, the signaling cascades turn on and genes turn on to engage a certain metabolic pathway so that the yeast can deal with that food source and utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the yeast away from that food source, all that signaling and gene expression goes away, but those epigenetic modifications remain on certain genes and those metabolic genes that are needed. And so those modifications represent a molecular memory for what the yeast recently experienced. And we think that that would then allow that yeast to outcompete others if that same food source is encountered again.
Outcompete them for assimilating that food source.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so we were never able to really test that, and we recently found that exercise can do a similar thing. Exercise can generate a form of epigenetic molecular memory at the promoter of BDNF. And so BDNF, epigenetic modifications change at BDNF, and this allows then the brain to be ready to encode information into long-term memory.
You said exercise patterns specifically. Could you elaborate on that? Like, are you talking about time of day that people are training, or type of training, or what?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things that we don't really understand very well as it relates to memory function, not specifically, sports and you know,
athleticism,
to understand. Right. But how does exercise relate to memory function? We still don't understand what are the best parameters, what are the best days, or times of day to exercise. How does that interact with our natural circadian rhythm machinery? How does it integrate with how we sleep and our sleep patterns? Because memory consolidation is occurring during sleep and different sleep cycles.
Right.
And so,
most people today either don't sleep or don't sleep well. I mean, that's a huge epidemic. And so, is there any evidence we can gather from hunter gatherer populations that are still intact and haven't been modernized, because they don't have a lot of the problems we have of diseases of modernity, including dementia and stuff like that, right? So, you know, 70 and 80 years old, they're still helping raise grandchildren. They're still actively involved. They know how to get home. You know, do we know? Can we extrapolate anything and overlay it that we know about these populations?
Yeah, we might be able to. I'm just not familiar with that kind of information, so I can't really speak to it.
Anything exciting? Like, we've done numerous shows now. Mm-hmm. On microdosed LSD. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interest. The King's College in London is doing some amazing research into microdosed LSD and a variety of different brain injury and function syndromes. And we know that microdosed LSD does, in fact, very successfully upregulate BDNF, but also cause some intricate and interesting neuronal trajectory, if you will, of mm-hmm. getting certain parts of the brain to start to communicate better again, especially parts of the brain related with imagination and memory. Any interest in that and that research at all for you?
Not yet. You know, for us to understand, we're a molecular biology lab, and so we're really interested in understanding the exact molecular machinery, mm-hmm. because molecular biology is a fundamental language. It's like learning Greek or Latin. It allows you to understand so many other languages if you do.
Interesting.
And so that's why we pursue this all from a molecular biology perspective, kind of a bottom-up approach, mm-hmm. not a top-down.
Okay.
And so because of that, then we're able, once we do understand that, then we are able to then explore that in different brain regions, how those brain regions interact with each other. But it's the only way you can kind of bridge to translational therapeutic development. So that's one of the main reasons we play in this domain.
You mentioned earlier pharmacological interventions of suppressing this particular process, this enzyme. Mm-hmm. What drugs do that?
So they're called HDAC inhibitors, histone deacetylase inhibitors.
Right.
And there are some that are FDA approved.
They're used for cancer, right? They're cancer drugs, right?
Yeah. So there are some that are approved for cancer, but they're being they're being used for terminal cancer approaches.
And they have some potential side effects, right? Because they cause by affecting histone. It affects all DNA in the body, not just the DNA within tumors and cancer, right?
Yeah, so the tumor cells seem to be particularly sensitive to the effects of an HDAC inhibitor. They've lost cell cycle control. They've lost a lot of the machinery that keeps them from being a normal cell. And so they get disrupted by these HDAC inhibitors in a much more sensitive way. That can drive those tumor cells into apoptotic or cell death mechanisms or senescence. They just shut down. Our normal cells are much more refractive to an HDAC inhibitor. They're able to deal with it. And so if these things are, that's why the therapeutic and medicinal chemistry development has to be carefully done.
Right.
In that you can find next generation therapeutics that are safe, they're non-toxic, they're enzyme specific, they cross the blood-brain barrier appropriately, those kinds of things. And then they're used when memory formation or memory retrieval is needed in someone who has either brain injury, neurodegeneration, or severe age-dependent memory formation dysfunction, those kinds of things.
Interesting. So there are some very popular diets right now, especially the low-carbohydrate or ketogenic diet, which is a high-fat, extremely high-fat diet. And there is at least some anecdotal evidence that people with diseases like dementia, seizures, and Alzheimer's seem to respond well. And there is evidence that ketones, which is what the diet drives to elevate while lowering glucose and obviously insulin at the same time, that these are signaling molecules. They're not just energy substrate for the body to run, but they're also signaling molecules that seem to have some epigenetic effects as well.
Mm-hmm.
Any possibility when, because we talked about diet and obviously exercise, you know, activity and inactivity probably play a role in the most diseases of modernity today, because we sit in front of desks, we sit in our car, we sit in front of the TV, and then we lay down in bed, and that's the majority of most people's days. But
right.
Are you paying attention to the ketogenic diet and its potential here?
Yeah, so again, my lab doesn't work on that, but others that do, there's, you know, and I've been to conferences where this is a topic of discussion, the ketogenic diet, lifespan, you know, increasing the lifespan, and how all these things integrate with neuronal function and memory function. And you know, it's early days. There are some very clear interactions between these things. The mechanistic understanding isn't entirely known. One kind of fun tidbit here, and this is, I should be careful to say speculation, but in the ketogenic diet, there is the production of 5-hydroxybutyrate,
yep.
Which can cross the blood-brain barrier, and it's a kind of an endogenous or natural HDAC inhibitor.
No kidding.
Yeah, so...
That's cool.
And HDAC inhibitors can have a very dramatic effect on memory function. So is that really what's happening? Who knows?
Right.
Right.
It has to
you'd
be studied.
Have to,
right.
You have right.
To study.
You'd have to go in and use the ketogenic diet. You'd have to block 5-hydroxybutyrate from entering the brain, and then study learning and memory to really determine if that was a causal or mechanistic pathway there.
Very cool.
But fun.
Yeah,
fun
no, no, yeah.
About.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this stuff, I know that you're a scientist, and you have to be very careful about how you say things and what you say. I know that. I get
mm-hmm.
that, because I've been doing this for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's nice to go, wow, that's kind of cool, and I can see research going in that direction at some point in time, because the ketogenic diet is becoming more and more popular for its therapeutic value as opposed to its, you know, weight loss value. A lot of people want to do the keto diet because they hear they lose a lot of body fat. The keto diet has a profound effect on metabolic syndrome. In fact, there's a research study out there. I can't quote it, but I can tell you what it says. They had three groups in it. One did the ketogenic diet by itself. One did the standard American diet. And then one did the standard American diet, plus they exercised 5 days a week. And the metabolic benefits were only seen in the ketogenic diet group, which
mm-hmm.
most people would take that headline and say, don't exercise, just do keto. No, that's not the answer, right? That's stupid.
No.
But the reality is that there's a really lot, a lot of exciting stuff. What about intermittent fasting? So intermittent fasting has been shown to upregulate autophagy in the brain
mm-hmm.
and also upregulate some stem cell activity in the brain. Do you think that when fasting, there are some changes happening on an epigenetic level in the brain that could also improve memory? Do you think there's an interplay with some of the research that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It could be. We've never looked at fasting or intermittent fasting. You know, in our studies, the diet's kept very strictly controlled so that it's not a variable in our data analysis. So is it affecting the epigenome? I I would make a guess that absolutely. How could it not?
Yeah.
And just because a lot of the epigenetic modifications are metabolites. So as soon as you start to affect diet, you're affecting what's available for the epigenetic machinery.
So in the period one knockout, yeast, right? We did this in yeast, you said, right?
So the period one is it's just being expressed. We haven't knocked it out.
Okay. So in the period one expressed examples, how well did the memory improve? Did you have a range and say, well, it's better, but it's not great, or did it like go right back to youthful levels?
Yeah. So what we had is we saw it in the aged brain. We were using tests where there was literally no long-term memory formation. And if you used a CRISPR approach to turn on just period one, you could observe full memory formation. And when you looked at how the neurons are communicating with each other using electrophysiology, the neurons aren't capable of maintaining their communication. You see this kind of transient ability to communicate, and it kind of degrades and gets disrupted. But when we're taking that HDAC3 enzyme out of commission and allowing memory formation, allowing period one to come back up, those neurons now have this. The neurons in the aged brain communicate as well as the neurons in the young brain. The interesting thing is, in the young brain, if you take HDAC3 out of commission, so this molecular brake pad, if you do that in the young brain now has a super potentiation. So you get this super threshold effect where the neurons can communicate in a really nice enhanced way. And in the aging brain, we can't get that enhancement, but we can get it to the level of what's normal in the young brain.
So when we talk about enhancement, are we talking about potentially your research could someday lead to the limitless pill? Like somebody whose brain functions at such a high level that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here's what I usually say about this, because I get this question all the time.
Good.
Yeah, and... What we think is that HDAC3 and its associated co-repressors form this kind of molecular brake pad machinery that prevent our brains from encoding everything that we experience. So, for example, there are savants who can encode
right.
an amazing amount of information. It's as if, you know, I teach intro bio freshman course and in an auditorium. So there are 450 students, right? And, you know, you see where those students sit, you learn some of the names, the faces. And so there are savants who can encode massive amounts of spatial and contextual information like that. And remember it, I can't personally.
Right.
It takes me a lot of repetition to get to know the students' names and things in a class of one section is 450 students and we do 1,200 total. So it takes me a lot of repetition. And so HDAC3 and these co-repressors, they repress your brain's ability to encode everything that it experiences.
Right.
However, if you're crossing the street and you almost get hit by a car,
turns up.
Right. Stress hormones get released.
Right.
Those stress hormones cross the blood-brain barrier. They're released in the brain as well. And they hit HDAC3. They open it up. And then you have a flashbulb memory. You encode what day it was, what you were wearing, what the car that almost hit you looked like. And it's also that you have this strong, very clear, robust memory so that you don't do that again. Right? And so we think this is a molecular mechanism by which we have specificity to our memories so that these memories are meaningful for our survival and our function.
Right.
And so if you start taking, let's say, you know, an HTAC 3 pill is developed and becomes freely available and people start taking this nonstop, it's not going to be like the limitless pill.
No.
Which is pretty cool.
It's probably going to end up overstimulating you. More importantly, it's going to overfill your hard drive, and you're going to max out your hard drive really, really fast.
Exactly. You're going to encode everything, and nothing's going to be meaningful or useful. And so it's something that our brains are not wired to do.
But I wonder what happens when you are a person. This is funny. So we just did this show last week. Every Thursday I do a show called Military Fitness Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this show last week about the dark side of being in gunfighting, you know, where guys get into the field and gals. And, you know, it's all survival. You're going to die and someone else is going to die. That's absolute. Someone's going to die. Hopefully it's not you. And that orchestrated aggression and that hypervigilance that actually leads to PTSD, because it's hard to shut that off later on, opens up pathways in the brain that actually make that process addictive. But I'm wondering if there's any degradation to the neurons, you know, maybe acetylcholine gets wiped out too fast, because I have to believe that the stress of encoding everything that's going around you for 10 minutes at a time in a gunfight, where you talk about getting hit by a car, I mean, you're really turned on now. I wonder if that actually erodes over time neuroplasticity and memory function.
Well, it could, and that's one of the things that, you know, is related to all of this work, is that if you do encode something that is violent and stressful and whatnot, if these mechanisms like HDAC3 potentially, or other histone deacetylases or similar machinery, is disrupted for too long, you have the potential to form some extraordinarily powerful memories that then become intrusive.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And thus give you aspects of what patients describe with PTSD.
Right. I want to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, I want to ask you specifically what you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from your research. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm, and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it,
you'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Thrive Market wants to give you $60 in free organic products of your choice plus free shipping just to get you to check them out. Over 4,000 organic products to choose from and up to 50% off all their products. And shopping at Thrive Market is more convenient than anywhere else. Order online or on their app in minutes, day or night, and get everything delivered right to your door. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad and get your $60 in free organic foods and free shipping today.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained fasted and remain fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Marcelo Wood from UC Irvine about a recent study. Very important discussion, really. I mean, we don't have to lose our memories as we age. That's clear. What are all the steps? We're not sure yet. But clearly, exercise and diet, sleep, they play an important role. And if you ignore those things, well, you're going to be one of the people who maybe you just can't remember what you ate a couple minutes ago. Don't be that person. So what do you hope that people take away? You know how this sort of stuff goes, right? It goes into the internet sphere and becomes things that scientists never intended them to be. What do you hope that people take away from this research?
Right. I think the most important thing to take away from this work and other work is that the brain is plastic. And by that I mean it's modifiable. It can be changed. And as we age, it's really important to understand that how we treat ourselves and how we treat our brain has a big influence on how that brain functions and creates mind and our self-awareness, our different memory functions, etc. And so I think that's the most important thing to take away, because too many people think it's a static thing. That, for example, for 30 years, it was believed that there are no new neurons in our brain, and we know that's not true. For decades, it was thought we only use 10% of our brain. That's another lie. We use all of our brain all the time. And so it's really important to understand that our brain is plastic and that we have to continue using it, pushing its limits, and treating it carefully because it continues to change, and it does not have to just be static and sit there and decay as we age.
Well, and I think another myth that's been busted is the fact that the aging brain is not plastic, right? We always thought that, well, the young brain is. The young brain can bounce back. But once you get past a certain age, you know, 50, 60, 70, no, you can't and that's not true at all.
Right.
And that's exciting.
And exercise is one of the main keys that unlocks that plasticity in the aging brain.
And that is one of the pillars of the Superhuman Radio mission. You know, we are all about training, and we're talking about just not cardio only, heavy resistance training, as well as these emerging modalities of training that incorporate agility and risk. And I'm not talking about hurting yourself, but we're learning that risk actually is a necessary mechanism for a variety of things. I never thought about risk until I did an interview 5 years ago with Dr. Malin Watfi. He wrote the book of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, The Darwinian Look at Metabolic Disorder. And his research, he dedicated an entire chapter to the neuropeptides that are produced during risk and how they affect nutrient partitioning So because we evolved risking our lives to go get food. And then when we got food and we ate it, it did something different than just getting up and going to the refrigerator, grabbing food and sitting back down at the TV and watching Jerry Springer.
Right. Not quite the same challenge, is it?
No. So I love your work. And I hope that you remember the show and
Absolutely.
That when you have new work that you come back on, please.
Oh, that'd be terrific. I'd enjoy that. Thank
you very much. I'm going to be 60 in June. I got to hold on to this brain because I'm going to be doing this radio show for the rest of my life, given my alimony circumstances.
Excellent.
Listen, take care, Marcelo.
All right. You too. Take care. Bye. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
And we also want to thank Rob Wolf. Check him out. Go to Rob Wolf, RobWolf.com, and sign up for his Keto Masterclass. If it's anything like any of his other dietary programs, I can tell you he's the guy you want to get your information from. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.